I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Well, it's a bittersweet day today for me because we bring back Taylor Ann Bradford for what could be the last time in her present position. And Taylor Ann, I'm both sad that this is happening, but I'm very happy for you, and welcome back to MSO.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy over the past couple of years to connect and to collaborate, and I'm eager to bring the news to those listening.
Absolutely. Can I ask you publicly about where you're headed and maybe when?
Yeah, so I'll be going to a local outdoor education center to go help them with their communications and connections with donors and alumni, and just work on different projects and, of course, get back out into the woods. You know, we talk about that trail column, and it's so much more than just a column for me. It really is a passion. So I start in a little bit over a week, so I'll be deep in the woods by that point. But
okay.
You know, just a hop, skip, and a jump over the bridge.
Well, I'm very happy for you. Now let's get down to business here. What do you think about, now was this your first municipal election that you covered for the Times? Your first and only one, I should say.
So funnily enough, I came in 2 years ago,
okay.
And I came in the middle of the past elections. However, mm-hmm. last election for the local leaders was not as contentious as this one by any means, right? We had so many uncontested races back then, and there's a lot of incumbents running. So very different. And this one really surprised me. You know, I went into Tuesday really thinking that we were going to see similar faces here in government in the next 2 years, but it didn't seem like that. As you know, our paper noted that Greg Verga won by what's known as a landslide. You know, he beat out the incumbent Safathi Romeo Taken. And I think it took us all by surprise, especially because he topped every single ward's ticket, which, you know, some was maybe by a 20% margin, some maybe by a 4% margin, but nonetheless, you know, it really shows that there is a new chapter here happening in Gloucester. He won by 5,829 votes, and Safathi garnered about 4,047 votes, and so that's with knowledge that there's 22,145 registered voters here in the city and only 9,920 ballots were cast. So it wasn't a huge turnout, but, you know, it definitely was enough to show there was at least a bit of a divide between the two candidates this year.
Mm-hmm. Both Safathi and Greg are well-known entities in Gloucester. And it was great to see, I think it was in the paper today, sort of a concession by Safathi, and it was great for us, who've lived here for quite a while, to get the news that she's going to continue advocating for Gloucester and continue to work probably as hard as she ever has. And, you know, she's a valuable resource, but it looks like she was, and it had to be hard, but very gracious in defeat.
Yeah, that was a special privilege to be able to speak with both of them yesterday and kind of just talk about what's next and what they've learned along the race. And, you know, speaking with Safathi, it really was, you know, she emphasized that she's going to be there, very present in the transition process and just, you know, working with Greg to make it as smooth of the transition as possible, but really emphasizing that, you know, she is who she is and that she's going to continue to advocate in all the different ways that she has. And, you know, while she won't be mayor and in the corner office, that doesn't mean that her work, you know, loving and caring for the city that she lives in is over. And so she really emphasized that and noted that, you know, she's really wanted to make sure that she can support those in the city who feel like they don't have a voice and feel like she can connect with those and provide them with the right resources. So I'm eager to see how she gets involved and what that looks like. You know, remember that she's been in politics for a very long time here in Gloucester. So for her not to be, behind the desk at those meetings is probably very different. But I'm sure that we'll hear her. This won't be the last time we'll hear of her as she advocates for the people that she loves so much.
Well, I can say this without fear of contradiction. She is one of the genuine characters of Gloucester. And we've had a few, and I mean that in a very loving sense. She is an amazing person. And now we turn over to Greg. I've known Greg. Greg's a former student of mine. And one of the things that I get concerned with during elections, as a voter, is it's hard enough to learn who the candidate is if you don't know who he or she is. That's difficult because you have to rely on the media. You have to rely on maybe what you see or hear, but you don't really have time to know the person sometimes. So what bugs me, and maybe I shouldn't say it like that, but I am of interest about those whom the candidate, when elected, relies on. Because, we know the president and vice president, but we don't know who his advisors are or who her advisors are. I don't know who Greg's advisors are. I didn't know who Safathia's are. Do you have any sense of who Greg might be leaning on in terms of running the government, in terms of maybe, the chief administrative officer, that kind of thing?
That's a great question. And as of right now, we don't know. You know, when I spoke with him yesterday, he emphasized, you know, Tuesday night, he tried to get a good night rest after so much adrenaline and then really focused the next day kind of on doing just what you said, you know, meeting with the people that he's been working alongside, the transition, the campaign team, to kind of get advice and think about what is next, how can we make this transition smooth. So that's pretty much where he's at, mm-hmm. right? So, and as much as we know so far in terms of who he's talking to is just working with his team, the mayor, the current mayor, and those who are working with the city to make that transition helpful. In terms of who kind of his team will look like, who will be in his team going forward, that's left to be a mystery because, again, remember, Frank Cousins is just the interim CAO with a 90-day appointment that ends at the end of November. So the question is, you know, he emphasized in earlier interviews with us that he's not planning to stay on full-time or apply to be the new CAO of Gloucester. But he emphasized that, you know, he's going to be here as long as Safathia needs him in this transition. Him and Krista Carranza, the assistant CAO, are working together to create packets of transition, work with department heads to help. But again, I don't think that we're going to be seeing Frank in this new team come January. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a great question. That'll be one that I believe probably won't be one of the first questions Greg has as new mayor, is kind of who will be his right-hand people going forward as we jump into this reset, as he called it, during his campaign.
Well, one of the things I do when I try to interview candidates at that level is I do try to ask them who their advisors are. And many times they kind of deflect that. And as a voter, and not as a media guy, but as a voter, it bothers me. I want to know who I'm voting for, because it's not just the person who gets elected. And I mean that across the spectrum, especially in executive posts, like mayor or governor or whatever. So I'm going to keep pursuing that. I want to ask you, Taylor, about your overall view of or perceptions of the rest of the election, because as you mentioned, it was kind of contentious, even across the city council races.
Right. Yeah. So we had a lot of other races. Almost every single one had some contenders or another. And it's cool because, again, you know, throughout my time of reporting here in Gloucester, the level of involvement that people have in the city is what other cities aspire to. It's really inspirational. I mean, sometimes it can get a bit much, but at the end of the day, people care and they want their voice heard. You know, we talk about Tracy O'Neill over at Ward 2. She talked about during her campaign how the reason why she ran is because she went to a city council meeting claiming that she was having problems with the roads on her street, and no one did anything. And so that's why she's running for Ward 2, right? It's to bring a voice to the voiceless, and I think we just see that time and time again in these candidates. So to kind of get down into the weeds, but the very important weeds at that, right, speaking of Ward 2, Tracy O'Neill, right, that was an upset. Tracy O'Neill beat out incumbent Barry Pett for a chance to represent Ward 2 by 3 votes. She won by 640 votes. Now, we understand that there's going to be a recount. Barry Pett's called for it, and so we'll probably hear those details maybe later in the next couple of weeks of what that recount results in. But I still think no matter what the results are at the end of the day, right, I think everyone is expecting Barry Pett to pull out ahead. But the fact that Tracy beat him out by 3 points is just a testament to kind of those people that we maybe a lot of people might just kind of say, oh, they're just, they're residents who have opinions. But in reality is, you know, Tracy wants to represent everybody as somebody who feels like she and other people have not had their voice heard. There's enough people to want to raise their voice and vote for Tracy. And I think Barry mentioned in a follow-up interview that, you know, Tracy worked really hard. She went and door knocked, which is really old-fashioned, can get votes very easily. And so they have, I mean, while it is they're vying for the spot, it's a very, I think, civil debate between the two of them as they move forward into this recount. And then we've got Ward 3. Ward 3 is interesting. Remember, we have Adam Orlando, who withdrew from the race that was currently uncontested. And so that kind of left it open to anybody wanting to pull in the write-in campaign. We had former city councilor Bob Wynot and then newcomer Frank Majata. And no one really knew Frank, but also people knew Bob and felt like, you know, he has experience, but maybe his time in city politics might be up, just in terms of as he's been around for quite a while. And Frank pulled up ahead and will not be representing Ward 3. And this is historic in Gloucester because, you know, he was told by the city clerk that there has never been a write-in candidate win Ward 3 in elections before. And so it just shows that, you know, for 15 days, Frank was running his campaign, and in those 15 days, he got it done. And that was pretty impressive. And then, you know, we've got school committee, which I think no one was surprised to see that the incumbents, Samantha Watson, Kathy Clancy, and Laura Wheaton, topped the tickets. And then we have newcomer Bill Melvin, who just, you know, during the beach was a very sweet, you know, he's been a coach. He's just, I think, very, he can crack a joke. It's very, you know, much, everyone is also, he also has so much experience just with the kids. And Keith Minio, who's a newcomer, who I think advocates a lot for sustainability and looking at the environment. I think that the upset and the trick to this whole school committee race is Melissa Texier Prince, right? She's a longtime school committee member who withdrew right before the election, which means that her name was still on the ballot, and she actually was the fourth highest vote getter in this election, which means that if she wanted to, she could stay on the council on the committee because so many people voted for her. It's not like she just like didn't get any votes. So now she's left with the question of, even though she withdrew, does she want to stay on as an experienced voice within the school committee? But if she doesn't, Tom Stein has the next number of votes. So if not, he'll be in. And again, uncontested races, and we'll see some familiar faces, or Scott Memard for Ward 1, Valerie Gimlem for Ward 4, and Sean Nolan for Ward 5 are all coming back as ward councilors in the next city council. So there's a lot there, Rick, but it's exciting. It's so much fun. And, you know, I think now everyone can maybe take a breath of fresh air and, you know, we can get out of all the arguments and, you know, being able to speak with Safathia and Greg and just talk, hearing them talk about how they're so excited for the other, kind of spoke to, right, like, we're all in this together, right? That's the mantra of Gloucester. And hopefully that continues out as we get into the colder winter months that is packed with projects for these new city leaders.
Well, speaking of a breath of fresh air, you certainly have been one, Taylor Ann, and I appreciate it. It's been so much fun every couple of weeks. I love watching you on 1623 with Sean and Heather, and I can't wait to see where your next adventure lands you. And so I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I'm going to say, whenever you have anything that you might want to promote, because you're still here on the North Shore, please let me know, and we'll do an interview.
Thank you so much, Rick. I appreciate that a lot.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
And when you get the job at Channel 5 or at ABC, I want to be one of the first to know.
All right. That sounds great. You know, you can come on. We can talk shop like we've been doing for the past couple of months.
I love it. I love it. Best of luck, Taylor. And thank you so much, and be well.
Thank you.
Take care. That is Taylor Ann Bradford, who is for the last time reporting as a Gloucester Times journalist here on MSO News Sports. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.